It's now, I think, towards the end of the talks, and I've forgotten why I chose this title. And it's called Waking Up, yes? Waking Up. Okay, let's wake up. I think part of it was to do with how Lumpo Samedo, when we were talking, some of the, I think I've mentioned this before, some children came and asked, one of the questions I asked them to write down questions when they come, school children when they come. And one of the questions was, how can you describe Buddhism in three words? So we had some. We were sitting around at the meal time, as you do, and I was trying to pass it around to the different monks to try and get them to give me an answer in three words: anicca, dukkha, anatta. You all know those, don't you? And I think one of them was possibly Buddha Dhamma Sangha, and I think I had freedom from. Freedom from confusion. He got up to Lumpur, and he said three words, too many. One word. Awake. So if that's all. That's an imperative, that's a command, yes, and also a noun. It's an instruction. So I think also what interested me when I picked up this topic was, how do you wake up? How do you wake up? And for me, when I heard that, when I read, I think that His Holiness the Dalai Lama woke up, said that he wakes up with the thought of loving kindness. Wake up with the thought of loving kindness. And I thought, well, he's human, I'm human. It must be possible. How does this work? And I remembered, as some of you know, I went to a boarding school, and we slept 20 to a room. And there were times that you were supposed to go to bed and times that you were supposed to get up. And I've always, you know, as you get close to exams, some people tend to work late and work late at night. And I was never very, very good at that. So I used to get up in the morning very early to work. And I'd heard somewhere, and I can't remember where, that if you bang your head three times on the pillow and you say you're going to wake up at 3 o'clock, you're going to wake up at 3 o'clock. And I believed it, did it, and it works. You know, you can actually decide when you're going to wake up. So I remember that from my school days, because I used to work early in the morning. And I heard about this idea of waking up with the thought of loving kindness. And it's you know, how you wake up is something that you can choose. What your first thought is when you wake up is something you can choose. And I don't know how you wish to wake up and what your first thought is when you wake up, or if you notice what your first thought is when you wake up. But it is something that's choosable. And if the imperative in Buddhism, if the imperative is awake, then consider, well, what is it, what happens when you actually awake? What does it feel like to be awake? To be really awake? And that's interesting. You know what it's like to be asleep. And practicing how you go to sleep is how I suggest to people if they want to practice dying. They practice how they go to sleep. Because, you know, it's the closest you're going to get to dying, isn't it? Because your experience of who you think you are drops away. And so to give attention to that moment can be helpful. How does it work? I think I probably won't suggest it on a retreat again, because I think some people took it quite seriously and didn't get to sleep at all, which is okay. Or found it very difficult to get to sleep because they were watching sort of so carefully that they didn't actually rest. But if you can watch that process, how the mind turns off, you know, the practice of anapanasati to know whether you go to sleep on an in-breath or an out-breath. Just to know how the mind goes when it shuts. To take care with that. The awakening, that freedom that when the experiences of being awake, when one's asleep, there's actually very little, you know, freedom. Okay, you can dream, and I don't know how lucid your dreams are, whether you can wake up in your dreams and know that you're dreaming, which is what some people practice, or some people recognize as a possibility, but for most of us, most of the time, the dreams are just dreams with more or less power, and a nightmare has a certain power, and one can wake up with a sweat. Or maybe one feels that one doesn't dream at all. There's no dream. I'm going to slide down the chair. So to know how the dream state is. Do you remember how that is? And then you know the feeling of waking up and the freedom from that dream state. In a state where there's actually not a lot of clarity about what is going on. It's confused. And then how do you feel when you're awake in this moment? When you're really awake to what is happening? When there is a freedom from the hindrances, a freedom from being caught in just some sensuality, some sort of seeking of some pleasurable sensation by the eye, ear, nose, tongue, or body. Or a feeling of, when there's a freedom from the sense of pushing away from the present moment, a sense of anger or resentment, and the dullness that, or the lack of awakenedness that occurs in that, and the blindness really that incurs in that, and a freedom from just restlessness, not being able to be and sustain awakenedness in this moment, but just a restless sensation of non-satisfaction, non-ease, or a dullness, the sort of sense of dullness that comes, where there can be some sense of comfort, but it's dull. Or the sense of doubt about what to do. What should I do next? What should I do next? What's the next thing that I should be doing? Or what should I be doing now? All of those are states of sleepiness, or states of unawakenedness, and a freedom from those five hindrances is like a real beginning of awakenedness, because then there can be a little bit of clarity about what is happening. If the hindrances are there, if something is stopping one from seeing clearly, then the awakenedness is blocked. One's no longer awake, and all the exercises, all the practices in the basic meditations are to do with waking up to the five hindrances in the first instance. Waking up and getting it beyond those. You can think, well, I don't know whether I can do that. Well, what sort of unawakened state is that? It's called doubt. I don't know whether I can do that. Is doubt at its basic level. If you can sustain attention through reading a book and keep the plot in mind, then you can sustain attention. You can sustain attention if you know what's happening when you start the book and as you're reading through it. You can keep a thread going, then you can sustain attention. And that sustaining attention is the beginning, and then broadening the attention as widely as possible, so the awakenedness is in all the postures. Say standing, walking, sitting, and lying down, but what that actually means is just all the postures. So whatever is happening, there's some sort of awareness of the what is happening, the intention behind what is happening, what the purpose of what one's doing is, and how to actually realize that purpose, having a clear comprehension about things. What are things actually for? Actually examining what are things for? Where do they come from? How do I relate to them so I gain benefit and don't get caught in danger? How do I use this tool that I'm working with right now? Now, the tool that we're always working with all the time is the tool of this body and mind. More particular tools we may relate to. You know, from very simple tools like a knife when we're chopping something, taking care not to chop the finger and chop the vegetables. Now, taking care when one's driving not to bump into other cars or people or things. Now, this is a tool. It's a tool for getting from A to B, a motor car. Now, and through one's life, knowing the purpose, how one's relating to things, having a sense of clarity and awakeness about this, how one relates to things like money. That's a tool. It's a tool for it's a exchange, for making energy exchanges, allowing things to happen. It's a type of power. How does one relate to it so one doesn't get caught in danger? So one can actually use money in a way that actually brings blessings. How does one awake? Does one awake to a life that is a blessing? Or is it a curse? When one wakes up, oh, is that the time? I don't know what I'm going to do today. I'm late already. Oh no, I've got to get up again. No, what is one's awakening? What is one's awakening? You know, in each of the things that one does, on the gross level, just waking up physically, but on the more immediate level, as one awakens in each moment, what is the waking up that one experiences? And my suggestion is that it's possible to choose how one wakes up. That's possible. One can wake up in a way that actually is a blessing to oneself and to others. Or not. Either not wake up or not, you know, or it can be something that's not so wholesome. Because, you know, there can be the choice to actually practice evil. That is possible. I don't recommend it. It's not really. But it leads to further confusion and unawakenedness and not to liberation. When the awakening is really in accordance with truth, in accordance with Dhamma, it leads to peace. Now, if we describe the Dhamma in the tool that we use to describe the Dhamma, we go, Svākhāto bhagavatā dhammo, well expounded is the Dhamma. Sanditiko, apparent here and now. Akaliko, beyond time. Ehipasiko, leading inwards. Opanayiko, attractive or inviting. Pachatangwe ditabo, realizable each wise person for themselves. And then that for me is the Dhamma that I'm interested in. That is the Dhamma that I'm interested in as somebody who wishes to make that real in my life, wishes to support that in my life. That is what I'm interested in. And I feel that if you're here on a slightly damp, but sometimes bright afternoon, it's probably what you're interested in. So, in examining the sense of awakenedness in you, what does it do when you awake? How is this universe created when you awake? You know, some of you will have noticed waking up in a slightly strange place, a place that one's not familiar with, and then wondering where one is. And then the whole sense of creation that happens as one creates the past and the future, as one creates a sense of self in this particular place. Waking up in a strange, strange place. In a place that one's not familiar with. And then in your lives, how does that work? How does your sense of self get created as you wake up? And can you watch that and not get confused by that? Can you see all of that as just a tool? The whole being that we live with 24 hours a day with our families and or with the people that we live with and meet. How does one relate to that? With the simple practice of waking up from day to day, one day to the next, to do it with a thought that one actually wishes to do, it takes just practice. You have to decide what you'd like to wake up with. What's your first thought when you wake up? What you'd like it to be? And then before you go to sleep, remember what it is, how you'd like to wake up. Remind yourself. And then when you do wake up, notice what your first thought is. And as soon as you begin to notice, allow that to remind you of what you'd actually like your first thought to be. And it'll come. And then after a while, this is the way that I did it. I'm sure that it will work for you if you actually just do it. You will find that the first thought will be what you actually decided you wanted it to be. It's not that complicated. then at least you know once a day you've had a thought of kindness. I mean, what have you done for the rest of the day? But, you know, whatever it is that you'd like to think. But to actually practice with that, you know, because each day is like a rebirth, and each moment is like a rebirth. And is that a rebirth of awakening, or is it a rebirth into asleepness? Is it a rebirth into habit, something that's blind and not known, something that's not understood? Something that's just running according to impulses that are not known, not clear, could be actually harmful. If one isn't prepared to actually question, then the impulses can actually be harmful. And if we don't know that something is harmful and we continue to do it, then unfortunately the karma of that we still have to accept the consequences for. It's not unfair, unfortunately, karma. Even if you don't know that something is unskillful and you continue to do it, then it still brings results in accordance with that unskillfulness. There's no blame involved, it's just the way things work. And that's why ignorance and the sense of, ignorance is actually a type of death. Now, in the Paticca Samuppada, we usually start off with ignorance and wind up with death. But it's actually a circle. And death is a type of ignorance. Because death is when one doesn't know what's happening. Death is insensitivity. Lack of knowing, lack of clear seeing. And obviously when we're asleep, we don't actually know what's happening. We don't have very much clarity. And whatever we can do to actually understand that and awaken and really see clearly what is happening. When we do see clearly what is happening, really, really see clearly what is happening. There is no sense of being overwhelmed by what is. And so there's no aversion. There's no sense of anything lacking. Of anything not being present, which should be present. And in that there's no confusion. And what the goal, Nibbana, is freedom from confusion, freedom from ignorance, freedom from greed and freedom from hatred. And that is what awakening actually is, because it's just the knowing. And there's something incredibly patient about that. Something very, very willing to bear. And the practice, the confusion is thinking that we have to get and gain something in order to practice, or practice is getting and gaining enlightenment. The practice is being enlightened. The practicing is awakening now. So in this moment, can one be in touch with that which does not seek anything, does not push anything away, and knows clearly what is happening? Knows clearly what is happening. There's actually very little one can actually say about what is actually happening. Now, for convenience, they say, well, the three characteristics, this first definition of Buddhism that was put forward by somebody, anicca, dukkha, anatta. So for convenience, we can say, well, that's what's actually happening. There is uncertainty, there is sense of stress, and nothing in all of this that we can see, perceive, or conceive is personal. And can we practice that awakening? And what is it that stops us from realizing that awakening now? What is that? What is it that's keeping us asleep right now? What is the narcotic that we're taking that's dulling ourselves? What is it that we're addicted to? That's the habit. And I don't know what it is for all of you. I sometimes recognize what it is for this thing here. But it's all to do with, I mean, a lot of it's to do with wishing to become something. The sense of moving on to something else, being something else in some future. Some future. Where is the future anyway? Because it's completely, completely unknown. And yet, we project ourselves into it. We project ourselves into it as this is how it's going to be in the future. Are we willing to live with the unknown? Can you go to bed and go to sleep and think, well, I don't know whether I'm going to wake up? Because we tend to assume that we're going to wake up, don't we? But it's not sure. It's not sure. Can we remind ourselves, how often can we remind ourselves of not sure? Do we want to wake up with a sense of not sure? Oh, I don't know where I am. I don't know what's going to happen today. How is it you want to wake up? When I told Lumpur about his waking up with a thought of kindness business, I think he said that he woke up with the sound of silence. Goes to sleep with the sound of silence. Which is not a lot of thought. You know, is that how you'd like to go to sleep and wake up? You can choose. The point that I'm trying to offer today is the opportunity for you to consider what you'd like to do, where you'd like to be reborn. Where would you like to be reborn? Would you like to be reborn at all? No. If you really would not like to be reborn at all, then be very, very careful about what you give attention to. Be very, very careful about what you give attention to. And how you wish to wake up. Because if you really wish to not be reborn at all, then give attention only to the unconditioned. Only to the unconditioned. Only to the spaces, only to the silence. Only to that which is not born and does not die. So your awakening is to that. And can you do it? I don't know. Or, you know, don't believe that. If you believe I can't do it, then that's a belief, isn't it? you actually don't know. And if you hold on to that belief that you can't do it, then what is the effect of that belief? You won't do it. No. Things happen because of causes. Whereas if you have some confidence that it is possible to give attention only to the unconditioned, or as often as you can give attention only to the unconditioned, if you can't, then you will try. You will actually give some, make some effort to give attention to that which is not born and does not die. Give attention to the fact that you actually wish yourself well, independent of conditions. You'd like to be happy, at least I would, as I've said a few times on these Sunday talks, I'd like to be happy regardless of what happens, both internally and externally. And I'd like to notice that that is actually what I actually would like. And then whenever I get caught, I recognize I'm sleeping. I'm sleeping again, sleepwalking. And when I awaken, what do I awaken to? I'm interested. I know I've practiced with the idea of awakening to the refuges. awakening to a sense of kindness, and all of that. I'm, you know, just like banging your head three times against the pillow to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. It works. All of that works. All of that works. You're not a slave to habit. You can decide where you live. Particularly if you come from such a privileged group of people as those that are here on a Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. You know, you could be doing all sorts of things. But more generally, you know, there's enough. You have enough food, you have enough shelter, you have enough medicine, you have enough to get by. You have enough friendship. And you can choose what your rebirth, you can choose what your rebirth is, or if you do have a rebirth. I do suggest that because I would really, really encourage a sense of liberation and a sense of freedom, which can be realized. Noticing the unconditioned. For some people, the sound of silence is good. For some people, space. I don't know. Whatever way or whatever tool gets you into that, noticing that which is not born and does not die. Now, allowing the mind to go, I don't know. And noticing how that, if you allow yourself to go to that unknown, that's not conditioned. No, because the unknown is just on the edge of the known. The known is always bound in some way. Can you go towards the not known? Can you keep things uncertain? I plan to go to prison this afternoon. Causes and conditions supporting. And No, I plan to leave here about 4:15. But it's a plan at the moment. Whether it'll actually happen, whether I'll actually get there, is not sure. And that's the way that I lead myself into the sense of not binding myself to a condition. Now, not getting caught in thinking, well, it has to be that way. If I don't get there, then my world will end. If I don't get what I want. No. So I offer that for your consideration this afternoon. The encouragement to awaken in as often as one can. Practice. Know the imperative. Imperative is a command, is an instruction. Awake. The noun is the realization. Awake. That's what Buddha means. Awake. So I hope that some of those techniques might help. Even if you keep it as a mantra, and all you ever say to yourself as you're talking, as you're walking, as you're eating, as you're defecating, as you're bathing, as you're driving, if all you ever say to yourself is awake, 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 it'll be like some people just going Buddho, 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 Buddho. Awake, awake, awake. And I wish you very well, that you may awaken to your dreams. Thank you.